Good morning and welcome to Backchat. I'm Jim Gould and your guest presenter today is Ada Wong. Good morning, Ada.
Good morning, Jim.
On today's programme, we're talking about visa requirements for Vietnamese visitors coming to Hong Kong and vice versa. Under the current rules, Vietnamese passport holders visiting the SAR for tourism purposes are required to apply for a visa beforehand, which can be a lengthy process, taking several weeks. Some business leaders have warned that the requirement is causing Hong Kong to miss out, to an extent, on an emerging market of 97 million people. Reciprocally, Hong Kong passport holders have been excluded from Vietnam's easing of visa requirements for 25 countries and regions, which is due to come into effect next month. But it's believed that change could be on the way, as the security chief, Chris Tang, is preparing to visit the country next month, with travel permits believed to be one of the matters due for consideration. How big of a boost would a mutual easing of visa rules be for Hong Kong's tourism sector, and what about Vietnam's? Let us know what you think. If you want to join the conversation, you can leave a message on our Facebook page, Backchat on RTHK Radio 3. You can email us at backchat@rthk.hk or give us a call on 233 88 266. Joining us now in our studio here in Broadcasting House, we have with us Caspar Choi, who's Executive Director of the Federation of Hong Kong Hotel Owners. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Jim. Good morning, Ada.
And also on the line, Winnie Lam, who's General Secretary of the Hong Kong Business Association Vietnam. Perhaps, Winnie Lam, we could start with you. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Jim. Good morning, Ada.
Thanks.
Good morning.
Thanks very much for joining us. I know you've been quoted as saying that you're concerned that Hong Kong could be missing out on business opportunities because of these regulations. Can you just first tell us a bit more about your concerns?
I think this is more than a concern, it's a fact. We have seen examples of Vietnamese companies trying to enter the Hong Kong market, only turning away because they, for example, cannot get a long-stay visa for their representative. And it's been happening for a while. Vietnam may not be the first to look at going into Hong Kong, but definitely there are a lot of hurdles for them.
Right. Is there a lot of interest business ties between Vietnam and Hong Kong, from your perspective?
Well, first and foremost, it's an untapped territory. Because of the visa requirements, then they haven't been able to do business with Hong Kong, at least from a Vietnam perspective. Hong Kong has been investing in Vietnam since the liberation in 1975, and a lot of businesses are doing very well here. But going the other way, it's definitely untapped.
Is it the same situation for tourists and business travellers?
It's the same, because everybody needs a visa. It just goes bilaterally. And it is not an easy feat for the Vietnamese to try to get a visa to Hong Kong, no matter if business or as a tourist.
We said in the introduction that the population of Vietnam, at the last count, was something like 97 million. It's probably more around about 100 million now. What potential do you think is there for tourism? Do you think a lot of Vietnamese people would be interested in visiting Hong Kong for tourism? And at the moment, the figure's not great, is it? But we're really thinking about the potential here.
Yes, Vietnamese are becoming a lot more savvy, and travel is becoming more a common thing. Being able to visit countries like Singapore, Malaysia, Thailand without a visa, and it is definitely, Hong Kong is some place that they want it to be. Vietnam is very familiar with Hong Kong through especially television programs and movies available in Vietnam. And it is the only reason that they're not there, being visa. And if they can afford to go to places like Singapore regularly, they can certainly afford to go to Hong Kong.
And of course, it's only a short journey, relatively speaking, as well, isn't it?
Yes, takes about 2.5 hours from Ho Chi Minh City, and it takes less than 2 hours from Hanoi.
From Hanoi, yeah.
Pretty much the time, time that they would need to travel in country.
Okay. Kaspar Choi, thanks for joining us. At the moment, Vietnam is not a huge market for tourists coming to Hong Kong, but the future, it's a developing economy. It's developing very quickly. What do you think about the potential there? And to what extent do you think, you know, the current visa requirements are deterring visitors from coming here?
I think the current arrangement really is deterring the tourists from Vietnam. We looked at last year. I was actually one of our DAB members went to Vietnam for a duty visit, and we saw a number of business community telling us the visa requirement is one of the biggest hurdle for them to come to Hong Kong, even during COVID time. It's not a quarantine, it's the visa. Looking at the past figures, we have about 44,000 travelers, including business. Yes, currently they do have the APEC business travel card arrangement, but for those who do not, we're basically just asking them not to come to Hong Kong at the moment. Vietnam, yes, has great potential to sell over 9 million. If we look at other regions or cities like Chinese Taipei, last year, Vietnam tourists is the number one foreign tourist going to that place. It's over 130,000 travelers. That's the potential. Now, are we losing out or neglecting this market? I wouldn't think so. I mean, looking at early this year, March, we were having this Hong Kong campaign. And we're giving out airline tickets to places like Philippines, Singapore, Thailand. Now, one notice, observation is Vietnam, we gave out 8,800 tickets. And that is a market I think we are looking into. How do we attract more? I think that's the problem, and I think that's the potential. We just need to loosen up. Besides attracting tourists coming to Hong Kong and doing business, that is also another market. We can find foreign workers, not just for to solve the labor shortage problem that we have in Hong Kong. What about the foreign domestic helpers as well? So, you know, these are all the potential that we have.
I wonder, you know, Why we have such restrictions just for Vietnam and not for Thailand, Malaysia? I guess there are historical reasons, right, Mr. Choi?
I wouldn't be in a position to speak for the Security Bureau, but it could be the history. It could be back in the old days when we have a lot of people coming to Hong Kong. And whether or not that is still a reason, I guess we just need to find some explanation. Or is it time to review? You know, that could be a huge opportunity as well.
Okay. We're actually also joined on the line now by another guest, Stephen Barnes, who's a co-founder of the immigration consultancy Hong Kong Visa Centre, and author of the Hong Kong Visa Handbook. Stephen Barnes, good morning to you.
And a very good morning to you.
And thanks for joining us. A little earlier than we were expecting, but it's good to talk to you. Thanks for joining the conversation. So how about that? I mean, do you have any insight on why the rules for people coming from Vietnam should be tighter than from other areas, other parts of the region? I mean, does it go back to the 70s and 80s and the large numbers of boat people arriving in Hong Kong at that time?
I have a sneaking suspicion that colours the present policy towards Vietnamese nationals. They very much are the leper at the feast when it comes to Hong Kong immigration. And when you look at immigration policy across any jurisdiction, there are general themes and sort of threads that you can pull out of the kind of decision-making process which give rise to the various visa categories that exist to enable foreigners to come and participate in a particular economy. And Hong Kong is very much like that. So, for example, if you're coming to Hong Kong to study, you get a student visa. You get a student visa for the US, you get a student visa for Vietnam, for New Zealand, you get a student visa for any jurisdiction. Similarly, work visa for work. Similarly, investment visa if you're going to invest. But when you look at how that policy plays out in relation to Vietnamese nationals, it's just a dog's breakfast, frankly. So just for example, if you want to come to visit as a tourist, then it's a six-week process to secure a visa that's generally valid for 2 weeks. The criteria for assessment to grant that visa are the same for Vietnamese nationals as for all other nationals that require a visa before arrival to come for tourism purposes. That is, you need to demonstrate they're a bona fide visitor to Hong Kong. So there's no difference in terms of how visa before arrival nationals from other jurisdictions are treated compared to Vietnamese. But it begs the question, why is it so tough? Because Casper mentioned earlier on about the business travel card. Now, the business travel card is available for essentially nationals and permanent residents of APEC participating economies. You apply in advance. It takes a few months to get the card issued. But essentially, the process of securing the card means that there's a kind of a pre-clearance of you as a business visitor to the APEC participating economies. And Vietnam is a participating economy, and Hong Kong is a participating economy. So if you're a business visitor to Hong Kong and you've got an APEC travel card, you can come into Hong Kong as a Vietnamese national without a visa, and you can stay for 60 days. So, you know, it kind of begs the question, really, what's the difference between being a business visitor and a tourist if you're a Vietnamese national and you want to come to Hong Kong? There's obviously some policy diktat in play there, but when you look at it from a risk management perspective, certainly you've had pre-clearance because of the process of acquiring the APEC business travel card. But it suggests by the same token that if you get a visitor visa once, it should grant you a multiple entry, multi-year visa, right? Mm-hmm. Therefore, you're not going to be precluded from visiting on spec when you need to. So there's a bit of a mismatch there. Mm-hmm. Vietnamese nationals, on the other hand, can't use our general employment policy, which is the visa policy that denotes whether you can come to take up employment, come for training, whether you can join in a business or establish a new business. So if you're a Vietnamese business owner and you want to establish a branch in Hong Kong, under the general employment policy rules, you can't do that at the moment. So the door is closed. It's impossible for those business owners to come and establish that enterprise in Hong Kong and take up residence in Hong Kong to be able to work in it, to manage it, and to, you know, participate in our economy. Another glaring example is that if you're a student, if you want to come to Hong Kong to study as a Vietnamese national in university, you can get a student visa for your studies at degree or undergraduate or master's degree level. You can't get a student visa if you're being offered a scholarship from a university. Don't ask me why. And then ironically, if you graduate from the university in Hong Kong with your bachelor or your master's degree, you are enabled to work. So while the general employment policy keeps you out, there seems to be some sort of magic associated with having gotten a degree in Hong Kong that allows you to, you know, participate in the local workforce after graduation. So, you know, you look at all of this stuff and you say to yourself, what the hell is going on? It's just very, very difficult to reconcile how the rules have sort of, you know, been mashed up over the years. And it's definitely time for a serious relook at it, because I get asked all the time by Vietnamese nationals about wanting to come to Hong Kong. And as soon as they say, look, it's going to be really hard, you know, they just turn off. So we're definitely missing a trick.
Right. Stephen Barnes, I mean, all these sound very, very stringent requirements. Is this only applicable to Vietnamese, or how about, nationals from the other ASEAN countries? Of course, Malaysian, Thailand, Laos and Cambodia, is it the same or not?
Laos is treated the same way as Vietnam is, and Cambodia is as well. But they're in the same bucket as North Korea and Cuba.
Right. Okay. But not the other ASEAN countries, I guess.
No, not at all. Not at all. Mm-hmm.
Winnie Lam, what sort of difficulties have your members encountered when applying for visas to come to Hong Kong? I mean, apart from just the length of time, the number of weeks that it takes.
I think let's take it into two parts. For our members, mostly is that they have some form of business operations in Hong Kong. They are even unable to send their staff to Hong Kong for training because it's just simply they reject without reason. And these, we are talking about a very ethical company who operates here, like the Jardines and even the Cathay Pacific, for example. It is extremely difficult. So as a result, like companies like Baker McKenzie will have to send their new staff to Singapore or Bangkok for training instead of being able to go to their head office in Hong Kong. So over time, people are just stopping to consider Hong Kong as an opportunity for some of these staff to go. And it is creating quite a bit of stress on this company because that is their normal onboarding process for some of the positions that they are hiring at a more senior level, but they just couldn't get to Hong Kong for training, for example. And then there will be annual meetings that they wanted to do. And again, there is no facilitation for such. Even though when Hong Kong PVC trying to bring delegates to Hong Kong and under the sponsorship of the Hong Kong Trade Development Council, they still can get visa for at least 10 to 20% of the people they're able to attract. And that translates to serious opportunities missed.
Right. What are you hoping to relax? I mean, obviously, visa-free is the best, but short of that, should it be like, you know, the length of stay could be longer than 7 days or 2 weeks, or the application procedures and the period could be shorter. I read a report that a traveler needed to submit her birth certificate, you know, to our immigration authorities, and also to state where she has been in the last 10 years. Obviously, I cannot do that. I cannot, you know, enumerate all the places that I've been. So these are actually the smaller details, but they are quite, I guess they are not very welcoming as well.
There is a precedent.
I was asking Winnie Lam, you know, what was she hoping for? Short of visa-free, could it be like a shorter, longer stay or better procedures in application? Winnie?
I think it is important to look at why we need a visa application. Yes, you have mentioned it's important. What is important about is some of the information they're asking for. And people are afraid of omission. So that could become a reason of them not being granted a visa, and they don't want that on their record. It's because they ask for other visa application, where you either refused a visa to whichever places that may be. So I think a matter of fact, simplified process is important. That you ask the relevant questions for this particular visa application. And not to mention that after, you know, the person has supplied the information of the last 10 years of traveling, they're merely getting a 7-day visa. Mm-hmm. And that you would have to do it all over again the next time. And even though if you had a previous visa approval, and you still have to go through that, and that is not a guarantee. And this is it's very expensive. Not every Vietnamese is able to go online and do it now, even though there is an e-visa application portal right now. And as a result, they have to pay an agent to do that. And that is upwards $150 per application without guaranteeing that it is going to go through, not to mention that they have to have a guaranteed ticket that they booked already with the hotel that they have booked. And this could become very expensive when a round-trip travel to Hong Kong, right now, it's about, $350. You look at the additional spending that you may be having, and that's not a very reasonable ask. Mm. Now, two-way visa waiver may be a stretch as an immediate next step. But I think the visa application process needs to be reasonable.
Okay. Let's come back to Stephen Barnes in just a moment, but I just wanted to ask Casper Choi. As Executive Director of the Federation of Hong Kong Hotel Owners, has your organisation made any representations to the administration, and do you see any prospect for a change in the situation?
No, not yet. But I think if the government is really considering any type of agreement with the Vietnam government, I think it's really worthwhile. I think the whole tourism sector would be supportive of this idea. Going on the level of, clearance, I would probably hope that they can work out something so we can treat Vietnam as any other Asian country, because we are attracting business to Hong Kong. And like our hotels, we're not just doing tourists. One of our major components is business travelers. So if there is a huge potential of Viennese business that we can attract to Hong Kong, we're just not attracting them for Hong Kong market. Mind you that we are attracting business from all over the world, so they can, they're interested in the Greater Bay or the mainland Greater Bay, China market. So are we doing everything that we can to attract business, to tell the good Hong Kong story? That's what they're talking about. So if these minor details we can relax, I think, you know, the whole tourism and service sector, we're definitely supportive of it.
Mm-hmm. So at the moment, and from the hotel sector, Vietnamese tourists would be very few in numbers.
It's a very small percentage at the moment. But I said the potential is there. Mm. And if we are currently having 85% of travelers mainly from mainland, more diversification is good. Hong Kong's positioning has been an international city, not just business. I mean, we have a lot of cultural events. We have a lot of mega sports events. Now, we can attract, you know, travelers from this region to come to Hong Kong. I don't think that we are in a position to pick a market. We should be welcoming all markets to Hong Kong.
Mm-hmm. Stephen Barnes?
Well, yeah, so, excuse me. I think it's important to sort of understand where, what the rationale is for the visa policy for visitors that do require a visa before arrival. What the Immigration Department is seeking to avoid is, excuse me, overstayers and those who seek to take up unauthorized employment while they're visiting Hong Kong. Now, for some reason, they obviously deem, you know, Vietnamese nationals to be of a particularly high risk to that end, which is why there's such a stringent visa before arrival policy in place. But there are instruments and mechanisms to sort of deal with this. The first thing to consider is, well, can it go completely visa free, such that you can be like a Filipino national, you can get a 2-week visa upon arrival, be enabled to get yourself 1 2-week extension either down at Immigration Tower or by shuttling off to Macau and coming back, getting another 2-week refresh, and then that's it. The Immigration Department will not entertain you anymore. You have to leave. There's sort of a precedent in terms of perhaps looking to how Filipino nationals are treated visa-free. But there is this other instrument too, which was introduced a few years ago in relation to Indian nationals who used to be able to arrive in Hong Kong completely visa-free. There then was a kind of an underground market of sort of snakehead-type characters that were encouraging Indian nationals to come visa-free. And then once their visitor visa had expired, they just moved themselves into the refugee claim process, which, you know, takes a very long time to process. And there was significant risk of unauthorized employment during that time. So the Immigration Department needed to do something about that. And so they introduced, on the one hand, a visa before arrival requirement, but also introduced something called a pre-arrival registration. And that's a simple online form that you fill in where there's a couple of declarations. I believe it's checked against a database of those who have got a poor travel record in relation to Hong Kong in the past, and then would either refuse or approve that pre-arrival registration. there and then, and then you'd be able to travel to Hong Kong for 2 weeks for a unlimited period. Excuse me, for 2 weeks.
Okay.
For a number of periods, I think it's valid for 5 years or 3 years. I forget how long it's valid for.
Right.
But there is an instrument that's available that could be immediately applied to solve that problem.
Okay, Stephen, let's talk a little bit more about that in a moment. We've got to take a short break for a news summary and a couple of announcements.
You're listening to Backchat. Call us on 233-88-266 and have your say.
Welcome back to Backchat with Ada Wong and me, Jim Gould. And this morning we're talking about visa requirements for Vietnamese visitors, a very large potential market there, but complicated visa application processes may be deterring a lot of people from Vietnam from visiting Hong Kong at a time when we're looking for as much business and tourism as possible. We have with us Caspar Choi, who's Executive Director of the Federation of Hong Kong Hotel Owners, Winnie Lam, General Secretary of the Hong Kong Business Association Vietnam, and Stephen Barnes, co-founder of immigration consultancy Hong Kong Visa Centre and author of the Hong Kong Visa Handbook. Stephen Barnes, sorry, I had to cut you off just before the news. You were talking about a solution. I think you're about to finish a point.
Yeah, it's about the pre-arrival registration, yep. Which is applicable specifically for Indian nationals, which is a very simple process and takes 2 or 3 minutes to complete. You get an answer there and then. If you aren't approved, then you have to apply for a visitor visa, but at least you know whether you're going to be able to visit Hong Kong, in a sense, administratively easily, just by starting the process through an online submission. There's no guarantee, of course, that you're admitted once you arrive in Hong Kong, because you still have to front an immigration officer and demonstrate the totality of your bona fide days as a visitor, return ticket, confirmed accommodation, sufficient funds, good solid reason for being in Hong Kong and the rest. All the normal sorts of inspections that occur to assess the bona fide days of visitors. But the PAR has proven to be a pretty decent solution to what was becoming an intractable problem. And while some poor souls who are genuinely eligible for a PAR, you know, get knocked back by the system, I think most folks who are genuine visitors to Hong Kong are able to use it and get good value out of it. So the system, for the most part, works.
Okay. Winnie Lam, talking about people going the other way, I mean, Vietnam's a pretty popular destination for people from Hong Kong. From memory, the process is not particularly difficult. What can you tell us?
It is still required a visa, and with the Hong Kong passport holder being able to utilize the e-visa applications right now, it's a bit easier. Mm-hmm. We haven't heard of much rejection, and it's more a process that people have to go through and an additional cost if comparing to neighboring countries that they may have the same sunshine sea for a vacation.
Right, a lot of tourists are going to Vietnam, as far as I know, including friends. What about business people from Hong Kong? What's their interest, and you know, what sort of areas would they be interested in investing in?
Hong Kong has consistently been in the top six for foreign direct investment into Vietnam for the past 10 years at least. So there are a lot of business interest here. In the earlier days, like from Liberation Days, most of the investment in Vietnam from Hong Kong are in the garment apparel industry because of culture and whatnot. Recent years, or it has been real estate and a lot of technology investment also are in Vietnam right now from Hong Kong. We are seeing more and more SMEs coming into Vietnam for otherwise opportunity also. So we're definitely seeing an increased interest in Vietnam, no matter if it's from a service perspective, technology perspective, and a manufacturing perspective.
And how about exchanges? Well, obviously, a visa is very difficult to get, but do you know of any Vietnamese students being able to study in Hong Kong or to come to Hong Kong for cultural exchange?
We are seeing some more students considering Hong Kong for university destination because of the proximity to Vietnam. I wouldn't say it is a more difficult or easier process for them right now because the number is really, really small. The Hong Kong University has recently established a representative office in Vietnam and obviously in hope to recruit more students for the university, but I think it's still a little bit too early to tell whether the visa situation will help or deter.
Well, I think Hong Kong needs a lot of talents, and as far as I know, the Vietnamese population is rather young as compared to that of Hong Kong. So, what about Vietnamese going to mainland China, Winnie Lam?
It is a different visa process, and definitely it is a place of interest. So the thing is that if they are going to China, they would not choose to go through Hong Kong because it's a separate visa process, and they would have to fly direct. And definitely, the interest is high also. And China being a vast land that they haven't been exploring in the past. And of course, as their business situations are improving also. But two-way visa is still a bit in a difficult place.
Okay, so it's still difficult to get a visa to travel to China
for Vietnamese. Yes, you need a visa to travel to China. Mm. Yes, correct.
Okay, just a message here from on our Facebook from listener Polly says, I just paid $450 for a Vietnam visa last month. Need proof of stay and return ticket proof. They need to reciprocate what they asked for. In terms of connectivity, though, Caspar Choi, and it's not too bad, is it? I mean, Greater Bay Airlines has just put on two direct weekly flights, I think, from Hong Kong to Vietnam. And I think there are like four airlines now that fly directly between the two places. So that's a good development.
Well, given the number of tourists that we have, I think, you know, the airline connectivity, it's already there. It's actually good because right now the airport, they're only at less than 60% capacity right now. But I guess everything is in place. So the question is, just like all the other guests said today, whether we can relax some immigration policy so we can bring the business and the travelers to Hong Kong. And on top of that, I like to also mention the population is rather young. So that is a huge market for potential, I don't know, foreign domestic helpers or import of labor. Because they could be interested in coming to Hong Kong, maybe later serving the Greater Bay region as well. This is another problem that Hong Kong faces. We do not have enough support, home support. So Philippines is one market. Indonesia is a great success. Do we have a third market? So, you know, these are some of the things that, you know, we should look into in the long term. Mm. Tourism-wise, yes, we love them. I think that everything is there. Just bring them in.
Mm. But in terms of language, the Filipino mates, they can speak a bit of English. What about Vietnamese?
Well, if you've been to Vietnam, you would notice that you know, language is not that big of a problem. And other regional markets are looking for labor from that source as well. So we just want to make sure that we're not losing out.
Certainly people in the hotel and hospitality industry in Vietnam all seem to have pretty good command of English.
Are our Hong Kong hotel owners investing in the hotel market, far as you know?
Well, I'm sure, yes, there are some investment in that region in Vietnam. But like I said, you know, it's a up-and-coming, you know, economy. It's considered, you know, a focus. I mean, that's why I said, you know, earlier this year, we're giving out like 9,000 tickets to Vietnam. If there's no potential, why would we invest and giving our tickets there? I'm sure that, you know, this is another market that we really want to tap into.
Yeah. So we want a quicker processing of those 9,000 visas that...
I'm sure that they should, otherwise that would be a bad experience for them.
Yes.
Can I just ask you about the hotel sector generally here?
Yes.
Is it how's the big picture looking?
Well, we were excited about this summer. I mean, since the reopening, we've been getting tourists coming to Hong Kong, but it seems to be a kind of bottlenecked at 2.8 million a month right now. Last month, about 2.7 million tourists. One of the reasons is about shortage of labor, and the chain reaction is that airlines they're not able to accept more planes coming to Hong Kong. So the long-stayed tourists, you know, that been affected. Luckily, but we do have the high-speed rail, so they are really looking into expanding marketing within the mainland China, five-hour travel-timed cities that try to attract more tourists coming to Hong Kong. But another huge challenge would be the shortage of labor in our sector. Recently, we did a survey. We're short of 9,000. Practitioners.
So are they back of house or are they reception?
Everything. We got about a third in back of house, reception and catering. So it's affecting all service industry. Now, we're grateful that the government had announced the new enhancement. However, I heard, I've been chasing them as well, any new detail would not be available until September. So the timetable is quite looming. Why? Because if we don't have new source of labor in September, that's the only time that we may get some new details of the application. Application, you know, in the old days would be 5 months, usually longer. If they can, you know, kind of shorten it to 3 months, we're looking at least the second quarter, we get the first batch of labor. Now, that is going to hurt our business greatly because if we look at summer, okay, we are not able to open up, you know, all our rooms to service guests because we don't want a decrease in our service. We just had a service campaign. We need to uphold that. This is our brand. So what about Christmas? Well, as you notice that the timetable, no labor coming in December. So that is going to hold us back a little bit. But we are still positive about the development. But I'm just stating the fact that this summer and maybe this Christmas holiday, it's not going to be as great as we hoped. Because if we have travelers coming to Hong Kong, we won't be able to accept them all.
Yeah. I mean, the shortage of labor, it's a serious issue in many parts of the world, isn't it? Not just Hong Kong. Just thinking, Winnie Lam, what's the situation in Vietnam regarding a labor shortage and what sort of effect is it having on the tourism sector and the hotel sector there?
I think it's very similar worldwide as to what we are experiencing in terms of the tourism economy. Yes, we also have a shortage of staff. One of the contributions is also because there are more hotels as the country develops. And while training is not fast enough, people are looking at different avenues. Also, Vietnamese labor is actually a big contributor to the Macau tourism, in which a lot of them actually work in Macau. Locally, we are seeing the disbursement of labor through no longer only concentrated in the city centers as the country continues to develop. After COVID, a lot of people has returned to their hometown, and based on the development of their hometown, they no longer come out for the same kind of work, for the same kind of money that they may be earning, but not able to keep most of it. So I think this is a world problem that Vietnam is also part of.
Okay. And on that note, I'm afraid we're out of time for this part of this morning's program, but thanks very much to all of our guests. That was Winnie Lam, General Secretary of the Hong Kong Business Association Vietnam. Thanks very much to Caspar Choi, Executive Director of the Federation of Hong Kong Hotel Owners, and Stephen Barnes, co-founder of immigration consultancy Hong Kong Visa Centre and author of the Hong Kong Visa Handbook.